Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We appreciate you. We thank you all the glory and all the praise. We thank you for another opportunity to be gathered at your feet to hear your word. We ask that, Lord, you speak to us in this morning. You remind us of the truth of your word. You will instruct us. You will teach us and you will help us. At the end of this session, we will have focus to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Very grateful to God's servants for the opportunity to be here. I'm grateful to God bless you for the opportunity to share with us today. By God's grace, we have been sharing on the topic, on the theme, the marks of Jesus. The marks of Jesus. And our anchor scripture has been Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Can we quickly open it? Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Reads, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for this opportunity to retreat and to hear from God. Thank God for the opportunity to sit down. Meetings like this and hear from God. I want us to be expectant. I want us to keep our hearts open to receive from God. Hallelujah. God is here to speak to us, so let us be open and ready to receive from Him. Alright, so, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Today we'll be sharing on the topic, the marks of raising godly children. The marks of raising godly children. Some of us here are married, some of us are not. But those of us that are married, we can learn one or two things to, you know, apply to our children. For those of us that are not, we can still learn for our archives. Hallelujah. Yes, so, the mark of raising godly children. How many of us have experienced a kind of difference in the way things are now than the way it was when you were growing up? Is there a change in the, let's say, moral climb of the world today? Is there a change? Yes. There is a big difference. The way things were when I was growing up is different from the way it is now. Although, I would say it's totally different, but things that we used to consider as abnormal are now considered normal. It's the true of us. There are certain things that we are unheard of. There are certain things that you cannot even say in public that people would like look at you and almost bury your life with their eyes. But now, those things are considered normal. Hallelujah. And so the times that we are full of strange things, the times that we are full of strange happenings, the times that we are full of things that are unheard of, and as a parent, you begin to be afraid. You begin to wonder. Sometimes I sit down and I look at my children and I'm deep in thought. I'm thinking about the things they will meet as they grow up. I'm thinking about the things they will meet. The things they will meet as they grow up. Hallelujah. Because the challenges get tougher by the day. When I was growing up, we did not have telephones that you can easily pick up and say you are doing one or two things, or you can easily scroll. But now they have those things easily. They can pick up things and scroll through easily. Many issues of mental health and all those depression and stuff like that were not so much there. Because some of them were more watching TV and playing outside. Now children are on the phones, they are posting things online, and they are carried away by likes. If they post something and they don't get enough likes, it starts affecting them mentally. And then there is a mental depression. Even you as an adult, when you post something, sometimes the kind of like you get affects your mood. If it's 2 likes, if it's 10 likes, your mood will get in. If it's 100, we don't land. They are not receiving what I said. True or false? Yes. There is an excitement that comes from those things. Imagine children. going through those things, if that you are going through as an adult, and you will face these things every day. There is a pressure out there to meet up with false ideologies, and you are growing up with it. Hallelujah. So for parents, it gets scary. These things that we are seeing, what I'm worried. When we were growing up, or when I was growing up, if you want to watch pornography, you will have to buy a CD to watch pornography. You have to buy Bluefin to watch pornography. Now you want to access pornography, all you need to do is go on Facebook. Just scroll through and you will see all kinds of things coming on like troubles. It's true. There are times I'm scrolling through my phone. I don't even want my children to be around me. Not because I am looking for pornography. I am not. But you don't know what you will scroll and you will meet. And then they will ask you questions. By then, whatever image they have gotten, it's already captured in their memory. You now have to start trying to battle to explain whatever it is that they have seen. Innocent cartoons that used to watch Tom and Jerry in those days, that there was really nothing so special about it. Now, all sorts of things have been infused into Tom and Jerry. So even if I see Tom and Jerry now, I'm not going to just sit down and relax and allow my children to watch Tom and Jerry. I'm going to sit down with them and see what is in this Tom and Jerry. Because the Tom and Jerry now is from Tom and Jerry I used to watch. Are we aware?
Yes.
So children are facing more, there are more battles. There are more things, there are more ideologies that are being pushed into them. That are being forced into them. There are things that they want them to forcefully accept and grow up with. And so, if you are going to raise up children in this time and age, we must raise them up with a different mentality. We must raise them up with a different ideology. We cannot be afraid of having children. Because every one of us here, we must have children as ordained by God when we get married, right? Yes, it is the gift of God. Children are the heritage of what? Of the Lord. So when you settle down in marriage, one of the things you desire is that the Lord blesses your home with the fruit of the womb, true of us. So you will not say, because things are happening in the world, hey, I don't want a gay. Except if you decide that you don't want to. But naturally, the desire of any parent or any grandparent is to have children and your my grandchildren, or you as a parent to have children. So you will not say, because things are happening, I'm not going to have children again. Hallelujah. So we will not say, because things are happening, or because there are many things that are going on in this age, we will not have children who will be offspring. Because if we do not have children who are children of believers, who are those that will combat those things that will happen in their age? Hallelujah. We must raise children who will be able to combat the evils that are happening in their age. I always say, whenever I have opportunity to speak with parents, that you don't need to be worried about things that are happening now. Why don't you need to be worried? Because your children are born in this generation. What time as this? They are the answer to the need of your generation. You don't need to look at them and say, no, they are going to be swallowed up by the things of their generation. The ones that you are having are the answer to the needs of their generation. They carry in their DNA the solution to the needs of their generation. You have to raise them with that mentality and understanding. Are you following? So the children who will stand out, the children who will be still looking for signs and wonders according to scriptures are children who we have branded and placed the marks of the Lord Jesus on. Do we understand? The children who will stand out in their generation are those who we have raised intentionally to follow after Christ. They must carry the marks of the Lord Jesus and unashamedly. They must carry the marks of the Lord Jesus and without explanation to anybody. They must be proud to say, I belong to Jesus. We must raise them with that understanding. Hallelujah. We must raise them with that what? Understanding. And comes with a lot of intentionality. As parents, we must be prepared for it. Deliverance don't rise by chance. They go through a process of making. They go through a process of pruning. They go through a process of correction. There is loving, there is care. So, no deliverer in the scripture just came up out of all of a sudden. The story of Moses, did Moses just erupt out of all of a sudden? No. Did Timothy erupt all of a sudden? No. His mother and grandmother carefully guided him in the way of the Lord. Joseph did not just erupt out all of a sudden. He went through a making process to be able to be what? To be able to be prime minister of Egypt and to be able to take care of the land of Egypt and fulfill God's agenda. Daniel did not just happen all of a sudden. Hallelujah. Even the Lord Jesus Christ did not happen all of a sudden. He himself was born and went through a parenting process.
And so if we are going to raise children who will stand out for God in their generation, they must go through a process of care, a process that is intentional, a process that is intended and led by the word of God. Hallelujah. The children that we have must be what? They must be branded and carry the marks of Christ. Let's look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7. So this is not the era of I need back to begin, praise the Lord, and then you just begin to behave anyhow. No. If you want to have anyhow child, then you can raise, you can do anyhow. Hallelujah. But if you want to have a, if you want to have children that will represent God, then you must determine from now that I will intentionally raise children that will represent God. But people say if you do anyhow, you will see anyhow. It's the same thing with parenting. If you do anyhow for parenting, you will see anyhow for children when you go perform. When you go perform for your offspring. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you just let them live anyhow, if you just let them behave anyhow, if you just let them go anywhere now, that is the kind of return we will get. Anyhow kind of children. But if you raise them intentionally, if you raise them based on the word of God, if you raise them based on values that you have taught them that these are our values, those are the kind of children that will come back. Many times some parents have issues when their children go abroad. Some of them sometimes miss the way. Some of them sometimes, we've heard all kind of stories of children who travel abroad and just behave, you know, just go out, just, it starts from the foundation. What have you taught that child from the foundation? Some people say we go to church. When you go to church, when you go to church, are you going to church to mark attendance? Or are you going to church so that the word of God will be imprinted upon the heart of the child? Hallelujah. So, our children must be branded. And they must be branded Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Verse 6 says, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down. And when you rise up. You can see what the Bible says. There's something I like to say. I think I brought it from Bishop David Oyedepo. It says, God says what he means, and he means what he says. There is nothing in the scripture that is by mistake. If God did not want it to be there, it will not be there. And so this Bible scripture says that, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, when thee, and shalt talk of them. And when thou sit down in thy house, see, talk, and sit, and when thou walk, and when thou lie down, and when thou rise up, those things were stated there intentionally. It means that what the things you are teaching your children should be continuous at every moment, every time of your life. Praise the Lord. So that's why I said it must be intentional. It's not anyhow until we see today. No. It's an intentional life. There is greater demand on parenting now because we cannot afford to just allow things to be. In those days, I used to be one of those who feel like, let me just stay my own. I don't want to make too much noise. Let's just be quiet and just do things the way we do it. But I've come to realize now that if believers do not stand up and go and be the head of affairs, there will be same things anyhow. Believers must rise up and be the head of affairs so that it is the kingdom that will rule and not the things of the world that will rule. And so those are the kind of children we want to be raising. We want to raise children who have kingdom mindset and know that they are rulers. Hallelujah. Not children that will just go and just be anyhow or that will just exist. We must raise children with the mindset that my children are kings. My children are rulers. My children are leaders. And not just rulers and leaders, but rulers and leaders with kingdom mindset. Because they must change the way the world is. And so that is my mindset now. I'm not one of those who say, oh, let us be quiet, let us stay, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't believe in that anymore. Because the more we sit down and do that, the more the world will be pouring things upon our heads. The more systems will be changing. And when we want to know, let's go and stay somewhere quiet, let's go and keep praying about it. We are praying about it is good. But there is a time when we must stand up and take the place that we are supposed to take. Things are happening in the U.S. now. All kinds of policies are being changed. And they want to force those things upon us as believers. People that are making those policies are not believers. They are all believers. And it is not forced upon them. It is high time that Christians rise up and say what we're supposed to say and take the right places. And that is the mindset to raise our children up, just as Esther was, an answer to the need of our generation. Imagine if it was not Esther that was the queen at the time. Imagine if she did not have the kind of mindset that her uncle had brought to her. What would have happened to the generation of Jews? They would have been gone. Once upon a time, there was a generation of Jews who were swept out by, what's that man's name again? Haman, yes. What's up with that head? There was a generation of Jews that was swept out by Haman, and then rose up a deliverer. That generation has gone before, and then rose up a deliverer. Why didn't it, and then rose up a deliverer? Come before that time, so that all of them will be saved. Do you understand? That is the mindset. We will not let us not escape us. Let us do what we must do. And it begins with the way we live our lives and we will raise the children around us. Hallelujah. Right. So, when we sit, when we lie, when we walk, when we talk, when everything that we do, we must teach our children and bring them in the way of the Lord. We are going somewhere. They must carry the mark of the Lord Jesus. They must be raised to live like Jesus. They must be raised to carry His message. You know, it is one thing to go to church. I've said this before when I was earlier. It's one thing to go to church. It's one thing to allow the church and the word of God to imprint in your spirit. They are two different things. It's one thing to be able to carry the message of Jesus. It's another thing to actually live the message of Jesus. They are two different things. You can be a pastor, you are preaching, but you are not living the message. And that is the kind of life we want for the children that we are raising. Not hypocrite Christians. People that actually know Jesus and are living the life of Jesus. So knowing how desperately the devil wants to spoil and taint this generation, there is a desperate, there is a war out there. I work with children and I can say categorically, there is a war out there against these children. There is a war. And it's a serious one. The devil is after them. It's not the book. See us. They've already brought us up in the way of the Lord. So there are some things that they can tell you that you'll be like, I bet you have seen our nonsense. But you see these ones, they are still very young. And they are very, it's very easy to manipulate their minds. So this is the time to catch them. That is why you see that even in cartoon, when you pick things, even in whatever. Whatever. I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen cigarettes. They say it's done. And a cigarette. I'm wondering, why is a cigarette a done? I've seen done that is a man's genital organ. And it's a done. They are selling it. I'm wondering, why? What kind of toy is that? Children are buying it. Some are fashioned like sweets. I'm thinking, what kind of toy is that? I've seen cartoons where little dogs and puppies are dressed in pink and all of that, and the voices that are coming out of their mouths are male voices. What kind of cartoon is that? There is an agenda. And the devil is after these young ones. We must rise up as believers to take them for God. There is a war out there. So we don't need war on our knees. We must walk in the place of knowledge. We must walk in the place of scriptures. Hallelujah. So the devil is after these ones. Knowing how much devil is after them, what do we do to treasure our children so that they will not fall prey to the wiles of the devil? What do we do to make sure that they stand firm in the way of the Lord? Come what you may, whether you are there or not. Number one, we must raise them in the word and in prayers. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. If a devil is good. verse 4. Are you there? Yes, I could have no better joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. What is the truth? It's the word of God. Not the lies of the devil. And we must be very careful with the ideologies that we carry and we are believing in. The truth is the word of God. But now we hear all kinds of things. Stay true to yourself. Stay true to who you are. Stay true to your identity. Not even to hear those things. Live your truth. Live your truth. What they do? All kinds of things. And you see, they are all positive. Let me call them positive affirmations and all of those things. But you see, the people of the world, they are now the truth is the word of God. Any truth that is outside this world is not the truth. How can somebody tell you that? Tell you that she took a picture naked, and the picture was on social media, and they abused her to ask her, why did you? I'm just being honest in my truth or something like that. And like, let's be truth and the word. What's the link? So you see, these truths, they are calling you to all kinds of things. So we must be very careful the affirmations, because there are some things that we call affirmations. They are not affirmations if they are not based on the word of God. Live your own life. You only live once. It's true. When somebody dies, they will go to heaven. But does it mean that because you only live once, you should be doing anyhow? To live a life that is not based on the word of God. So we must be careful the ideologies that the world carries that we sell to our children. The truth and the only truth is the word of God. And that is what we must raise our children in and out of season. At that time, when they are going to school, during teaching time, during playing time, look for every opportunity to teach them the word of God. Look for every opportunity to put the word of God in them, to teach them about prayer. We must not be afraid to stand our ground and state that we are believers. Because the foundation of our home and our family is this truth and is the word of God. Hallelujah. Does any building stand without the foundation? No. Our own foundation is what? Is the word of God. The moment you don't raise your children based on that foundation, I'm sorry, the parenting structure will not stand. That's just the truth. So, your family must clearly know. Your children must clearly know. We are Christians, and we are not just Christians by religion. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. There is something called salvation, where we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives, and we follow Him. We are not just doing religion. We are not just Christians, so that if they say, which one are you, Christian, Muslim, you tip one? We are Christians because this is what we believe. Hallelujah. So, and these things are done during your devotion times. Morning devotion, night devotion. Teach them. Create scripture games. I'm always on the hunt
for games, my little games
I can do with my children. I'm always on the hunt for them. Anyone I see that I can do, I will try it. Sometime this week, I did work with the children in my compound. I saw it online where they'll say, Old Testament, New Testament, jump there. I don't know how many of you have seen those, that kind of thing. Every opportunity to teach them the word of God,
even if it's games, as a parent, don't be too
tired. Even if let this baby in, try and do the one you can do. Hallelujah. Teach them memory verses. Pray with them always. Build their faith. My children, when the television subscription finishes and they come to me, Mommy, that's finished. I say, go and tell Daddy. When they tell Daddy, they'll come back again. I say, hey, now we go and pray to God that God should provide money for Daddy to be able to do the subscription. And when he eventually does it, they come to me and I say, can you remember that you prayed?
Say yes.
Did God do it? You say yes. Say, God, what do we do? Go and tell God, thank you. It's from the little things.
Hallelujah.
It's from the little things. Don't wait till it's the big thing. It's from the little things that our faith is being built. I've shared this story before of myself when I was growing up. I had this, we're supposed to sing in the choir on Sunday for Children's Day or so. And they said all of us must wear a cape. One cape like that. I think it was 150 at that time. 150 is small money now, but at that time 150 was very big. And my father told me he does not have 150 to give me for a cape that I'll use on one day. And so I almost cried because, not even I cried because I was one of the big singers in the children's choir. How can I hold me not have cape? So he told me to go and pray about it. I'm already giving up hope. My aunt, she was dealing with us at that time, and she knew I really wanted the cake. All of them did not have money to buy cake for me. One day, I remember all the teachers they had taught us in church. At that time, I think I was 7 or 8. I went to kneel down beside my bed. I said, Lord, I want this cake. Please provide cake for me. I want cake. Purple cake with flour like this. Very small something. And this thing, I've never forgotten, it has gone to my faith. Saturday before the Sunday, one of my uncles came to visit us. And when he came to visit us, we said and chatted. I didn't even bother to ask him about the cake because this particular uncle is not the type that he uses. I'm being honest. So I didn't even bother. If he comes with $1 to the house, just accept it with Jesus' joy and be giving God thanks. That's that one. And we have already accepted it. So it's not the time that he uses. He is calculative. This is what I'm spending, and that is all. So he finished and he was going. We were seeing him off. He now said, what about your auntie? Let's go and greet her. So we just stopped by at my auntie's house to go and greet her. When he was now leaving, she now asked me, have you told your uncle about that cake? I just gave her eye that this one will not answer. So tell me now. That's how I go to the bank. No, I'm going to keep hands in my pocket and brought money for cake. Ah, I was very happy. Then my brethren, I went to church bouncing or something. I had cake. That small incident I've never forgotten. It has taught me that God can use even the rainbow, stingiest or the hardest of persons to be a blessing to you. Only have faith. So those are the things you must teach children to. Because those things are the things that help them in their journey of life. They will remember that, this experience I had, if this God must know God, he will sing it true. Hallelujah. So we must build their faith. Number two, be a positive role model. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, read it. Judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This is God saying, I know him. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. So it's not just commanding, but after him. Be a positive role model. Don't say one thing and do another thing. Because children do as you do, not do as you say. They copy what you do, not what you say. So you are talking, talking, but they are looking at the life that you are living. They are exemplifying whatever it is that you are doing. So, be a positive role model to your children. Don't leave the responsibility to Christian schools. Some people carry their children to Christian school and say, let them be raising them up in Christian school and following them in Christian school. There is nothing wrong with sending your children to Christian school. I want children to a Christian school. But the first Christian school should be you and your house and your family. That's the first Christian school. Because all believers are also sending their children to Christian school to go and be changed. Let them use faith and word of God to change their children in Christian school. Your children will meet the children of all believers. If you have not raised them up, first of all, the word of the Lord, and send them there, they will most likely follow the children of all believers. Hallelujah. That's why we see some children who go to, there was a simple man, I don't want to mention the name of the church, who was sent to a Christian school, Christian university, and ended up being a drug addict. Today, he's doing great for God and saving other drug addicts, but it was in a Christian school he was introduced to drugs. So the first Christian school is you. Because your values and what you have taught them is what you will guide them to. And if by any chance they mistakenly fall, the same things you have taught them is what you will bring them back. Because it is imprinted in their spirits. Hallelujah. The things you have taught them is what will bring them back. Because it's imprinted in their spirits. The Holy Spirit will keep reminding them. Even when they are going in the depth and in the depth of the world, sometimes what you have taught them, it will come like a flash. What you have taught them, it will come like a flash. What you have taught them, it will come like a flash. The previous experiences that they have had in the world, or even when they are probably smoking, it will come like a flash. So these are the times to teach them the word of God. Don't just go out. People should not just go out and drop. I'm saying it's not just for those of us here, but those of us online. Don't just drop your child and say, I'm taking them to Christian school. There's a limit to what they can do. Hallelujah. Don't drop your children with other people and say they will raise them for you. They have the work they will do. True. They have the level of work that they can help with. But the major work, the major responsibility is upon you as a parent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, be a worthy example to your children. You have to be present and available as a parent. You have to be present and available. You have to be the person you want your child to become. I remember the time when elections was going on, and one pastor was preaching. And when he was preaching, he said,
may your child
be like the person that you are conversing for. How many of us saw that video? People didn't see that video. Oh! It trended then now. People say, may your child, those of you that are voting for supporting this person, may your child be like that person that said, come and say, hey. So be the person you want your child to be. Hallelujah. Live the life you want your child to live. Hallelujah. You don't teach love, for example. If you want a child to know love, you don't teach them. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is this, love is, and they can sing it, love, joy, they will sing all those songs. But you don't teach love. You live love and show love. That is what a child will take. Hallelujah. So somebody can know this is love according to this, but some people, they know it according to scripture, but they don't know how to live it because they have not been taught. That's why we see a lot of issues in some homes. Some people know scriptures on love, but they don't know how to live love because they have not been taught how what love is. I remember there was a time I was sick in the house. I told my husband about it and I was appreciating him. I was so sick. My first son was sick. My daughter was sick. The only person that was not sick in the house that day was no sick. So I just got sick all of a sudden. And early hours of the morning, this boy woke up and came to my room. He met me actually vomiting, you know, throwing up on the floor. I told him, get me a bowl. Immediately he got the bowl. He got me tissue paper. He got me water. He said, I tried to attempt to clean my face. At the time, he was five. As a mother, I was touched and I was moved. This little boy. As I was thinking about it later on, it occurred to me that a child can only do what they have seen you do. A child can only do what they have learned. I was appreciating my husband. I said, it's from you who learned it. How to care for their mother. How to care for them. How to care for the children. How I care for them. So you don't teach love. You live love so that the children can learn love. Do you understand? That is what they will do. What they see you doing is what they will do. Praise the Lord. If you want your teacher, your children to be readers, they must be a reader. If you want your children to be prayerful, then you must be prayerful. You can't be pressing the computer and pressing phone only tonight, and you'll be telling them, be prayerful, be prayerful. You are deceiving yourself. They are not prayerful. Because it's what they see doing, you will do. Hallelujah. Third, discipline. When we say discipline, people immediately think that it is what? Is what? Hey, go, go, go. Nothing. But discipline is beyond that. Proverbs chapter, let's write down Proverbs 29, 17. Proverbs 13, 24. Ephesians 6, 4. Because of time, we're not reading it. But discipline is an expression of love. It's not just flogging. It's not just paining. It's not just whipping. Don't worry. Ephesians 6, 4. You can write it down. Discipline means being able to behave and walk in a controlled way, which involves obeying particular rules and standards. It is a way of training someone so that they can learn how to control their behavior and obey rules. Discipline should be done in love. The easiest and the best way to discipline a child is to discipline in what? In love. Hallelujah. It's not just about paining, it's not just about flogging. Those things are there. The Bible even says that what foolishness abounds in the heart of the child. Those things are there. So you must discipline a child. You must guide them in the way of the Lord. But apart from flogging, apart from all those corporal punishments, you can also discipline in love. You can discipline with the words of your mouth. For example, if you know that your child likes a particular toy or a particular game, and they do not know what they are supposed to do, take the game away from them. Take the toy away from them. It is discipline. Hallelujah. So discipline is not what we are trying to do, to ensure that they follow set down rules. That's what discipline is about. Ensure that they are following set down rules. Ensure that they are following. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the aim of discipline is to bring orderliness. It's to bring respect. It's to bring harmony in the home. Because of time, let's go to the next point, which is love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Colossians 3, 21. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't be so hard and so difficult that your children cannot come near you. Hallelujah. Love is not just paying school fees. Love is not just providing for their needs. Love is not just buying clothes. Love is built on connection. That's the reason why some parents, some children will have all the things in the world, but not have a connection with their parents. So love is intentionally built. Hallelujah. Love is what? It's intentionally built. Create time for the children. Be physically available. Listen to them. Encourage them. Attend programs with them. Then be emotionally available. Be available to say, oh, you have done well. Not every time complain, complain. Not every time criticize, criticize. You didn't do this well. You didn't do that well. Be emotionally there for your child. Hallelujah. Don't be immediate parents. When they see you like this, once they hear one like this, everybody. Hey, mommy has come. Maybe two parents. Just really whistle and the whole world will be bringing us. Don't be be so tough that children cannot approach you and tell you what you're going through. Some of us, the children don't even want to come and tell you, but your heart so don't pipe down. Pipe down. So that they can share their heart. They can share, especially when they are teenagers. You need to be very careful. So it's not just about paying fees, it's not just about providing snow. Be there, be available. And I'm saying this because of people. Some people say, what's so special? What's the big deal? I've been to schools where a professor will tell me, please, ma'am, come and talk. I don't understand the kind of parents that are in this generation. They tell me that. See, I don't understand the parents that are in this generation. What was telling me, how can a mother bring her child to school with plates and the next day, that same plate is empty in the bag? Not washed, not cleaned, not anything, smelling. And the mother carried the child and took to school. She said she's the one that will take the plate, wash it, then go and buy indomie and cook for the child. Then when the parents come, she said, I cook indomie for your child, give me my money. She told me a lot. She was giving me a lot of examples. I've heard them several like that. They tell me, please come and talk to our parents. I don't understand the parents of this generation. Some will leave their children in school to 7. And when they eventually come, they say they forgot. I'm not saying fables. I'm saying what I've been told. From proprietresses and proprietors who were really complaining. There was even one that said they should not be angry. He actually forgot to pay the school fees. It's not that he does not have money, but he actually forgot. He said, please, if I don't be angry, I forgot. She said, I don't understand. So that's why I'm hammering on this. The children now, they need presents. What are your presents? Buy them teddy bear. Buy them this. Buy them that. They are good. But more than that, they need our presents. Physical presents. Get down on your knees and pray with them. Roll on the floor with them. Do tantrum with them. Play rock about with them. Even those things that they call foolish, do it with them. Children do not, I read in the book, what's the name of the person that said, children do not tell you, mommy, I had a terrible day or I had a hard day in school. What they will tell you is, mommy, come and play with me. That is how they express their day. In the process of playing, they will not start voicing out one or two things. So a child will not say, mommy, I had a very bad day. Especially when they're very young. Most times what you will hear is, mommy, come and play with me, or daddy, come and play with me. I have a custom in my house which I learned from somewhere. When it is almost night and they are going to sleep, I ask the children, so how was your day? Let's just tell me about your day. From the beginning, so they will start recounting for me, recounting everything. So even the things they never thought to mention it. Then they will now ask me, mommy, tell us about your day. And then I start saying, I went to the meeting, from the meeting I went to this, I went to that, I went to this, I went to even when I don't, the days I forget to ask them, they come and ask me, mommy, you have not told us about your day. Because we have made this culture. So even the things you don't, because they go through a lot, you must be intentional to want to see them out of their mouth so that we can help them. Presence is more important than the present you give to them. It's better to have your children in a government school where they are paying 1 naira and you are available to guide them than to put them in a school where they are paying 1 million and your presence is not seen. The process is not simple. Let them be in that place where they are paying 1 naira and you are the one with them. Even if you can't be there every day, at least you have the time spent with them to monitor them every day. It's very important, especially in this generation. You can't even get a chance. You can't. So, please, present, show affection. Tell your children, I love you. We were not used to hearing I love you. In fact, if my dad, if you tell my dad I love you, he would say, he would say,
Baba, look it.
Because they are not used to it. And me, I don't have. pay our schools and all of that. And he was always his, there were also levels. How are you? How was school? I remember when they would just be asking you questions. They would not say, I love you. But they would be, you know, everything to care for. You are sick, they'll care for you all of that. But you had me here, I love you. Me, I had to intentionally why myself to be able to say, I love you. Even till now, I find it difficult to tell my dad, I love you. Because we're not brought up that way. My younger sister would say, I love you. I said, listen, I love you. If I was saying, listen. Because we're not brought up that way. So we must begin, we have to learn it. How to tell our children, I love you. They desire to hear it. My son, they want you to hear words, they want you to tell them that they are doing well. They want you to always tell them that, give them words of affirmation. My children will come and tell me, we did this. Mommy, did we try? What they want to hear him say is that they tried, that they did well. And those are the ways of discovering their temperaments. Those are the ways of discovering, what do they call those things now? Their love language, God bless you. And that's how you discover those that their love language is words of affirmation. The one that is always asking you so that you can say things that will make them, you know, feel good, or things that will make them oh, you done well. That's how to discover. The one that always comes for hugs. That's how you discover, oh, this one's love language is hug and touching. The one that wants gifts. That's how you know the ones like that. And that is how you do so. You don't deal with each child in the same way. You deal with them according to their love languages. When you discover in your relationship with them every day. Are we getting? Because you treat all of them the same way. The one that likes words of affirmation. When you give them negative words all the time, you are picking it away. So you have to find a way to connect with that child and correct them without breaking their spirit. Are we following? So it is in presence that you discover those things. Communicate more. Find time to talk. Find time to gist. Find time to chat with them. You need to admit your things. Sometimes they talk too much. Sometimes they want to talk. Even when you go tired. My baby. Sometimes she will talk. The one that is 3 years. She will talk. I say, she said, Mommy, don't say, say yes. I said, she said, Mommy, don't say, say yes. At that point, I'm saying, I'm very tired. But she said, say yes. Because they will talk and talk and talk. But you must give them that time so that they don't find it somewhere else. Hallelujah. So, my appeal to us as parents and as those who are influencing teenagers too is that do not underestimate your influence in the lives of teenagers. Let me talk to parents, especially those who are battling with their teenagers. Don't underestimate your influence in the life of your teenagers. Don't say, oh, because the teenager is already behaving this way, so I'm already giving up. There was a survey I saw on teenagers, and the survey showed that parents still have more influence on the sexual decisions of their teenagers than their peers. So many people believe that our teenagers will follow the decision of their peers, especially when it comes to sexual decisions, when it comes to friendships, and all those things. When they did the survey, when they took the data, asking gathering information, they found that many of the teenagers still tilted to what the parents said than what their friends said. So it showed that parents still have more influence than what friends will say. So please, let's not give up. If your child is the one that is doing things and is out of the way of the world, don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Keep on holding on to God. Keep on reminding God of his promises over that child. That is why we talk about the foundation. Keep on reminding God of his promises. Lord said, this one is for signs and for wonders. You told me that this one is a generational apostle for the nations of the earth. The devil cannot take this one. Those are the things you keep on declaring over our children. Lord, you said to me that this one will be a gospel singer and will sing for Jesus. This one will not sing for the world. Keep on reminding us. This one will not be a drug addict. This one will not be sold to the devil. Keep on reminding God of his promises. My child is a Christian conglomerate business owner. My child will not use his brains to serve the devil. He will serve the kingdom with the senses and the brains and the skills that God has given to him. It begins from now. Hallelujah. So let's not get tired. Let's keep declaring. You are simple. Declare it for yourself. You hold your own. You hold your stomach and say, out. Don't say, out of my belly. Yeah. You say, hey, out of my belly. The offspring that will flow from this place, out of these ones, they're for generational impact. In fact, it's even easier now. They're for signs and for wonders. Hallelujah. Shall we rise up and begin to declare? My children are for signs and for wonders. My children are for their generational global agents for Christ. In the name of Jesus. They will live lives that will honor God. They will live lives that will glorify God. Declare, the Bible says, as I hear you say, so I will do unto you. But as I hear them, not as I hear you murmur. As I hear you say, not as I hear you think. As I hear you say, so I will do unto you. So declare, what do you want for your children? My children are a light in their generation. My children are ministers for God. My children are for signs and for wonders. The devil will not snatch them. The devil will have no way over them. They are tools for God in their generation. Oh, these ones are generational voice. Generational captains of industries for Christ. In the name of Jesus, their spirit will repel evil. Their spirits will not be attracted to evil. They carry on them the marks of the Lord Jesus. They carry on them the brand of the Lord Jesus. Negative forces of hell will not be attracted to them. Declare over your children. Declare over your loins. Declare over your generation. Declare over your future. Lord, I will not be tired. I receive grace. I receive strength to raise them in the fear and the knowledge of God. I will not be weary in the name of Jesus. Oh, children, I will stand for Christ. Children, I will speak for Jesus. Declare over your children. Let brother be proposed you. They will not be lost. They will not be lost. They will not be missing. In